Hey there, welcome back to the Northwest Audio Podcast Midweek Formation, where we give some supplemental content to take your formation beyond Sunday morning. My name is Nick, and I'm the community pastor here at Northwest, and I'm here with our youth pastor, Sam. Today, we continue to unpack our series, House of Prayer, this time talking about Andrew Smiley's message on Sunday on Thanksgiving and praise. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another wonderful experience. That is, if you like our podcast. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a wonderful experience, but if it's not, then you probably aren't even listening. So,
yeah, there you go.
If you're listening, that means you think it's a wonderful experience. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, quick note, we had a wonderful guest on Sunday. And so if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to that. Make sure you listen to all the good things he said, and then you can come back and listen to this as we kind of deep dive kind of the topic itself of Thanksgiving and praise. And, you know, I think it's a little interesting for us just, you know, JD in that first week of the series was like, you know, let's move beyond just this. And what I think is beneficial, you know, this referring to like, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Ooh, I'm done. But what I think I love about this in particular, even though it's, you know, at first glance, it's like, wait, we were just told to get away from that. What do you mean we're going to be Thanksgiving again?
Right.
But I think there's like a different, there's different posture to it. It's almost like a, like, I love this idea of like the path of prayer is praise. And how gratitude is just kind of like this, it should be like this central resting place, almost like, you know, like, where is center? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we go throughout our day and throughout our life and throughout all the different things that are going on, and we end up getting pulled back to center. What is center? And I think for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, that center needs to be praise and needs to be gratitude. You know, I it's so funny. We were just praying and thinking, you know, we were spending some time in prayer, and the song came to mind of Come Thou Fount, the hymn. I'll link it to the show notes if you want to check out the lyrics for it. But the first verse of it says, you know, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Like, it was almost like a lead my heart to sing the grace that you've given me, for that to be like my resting place. Streams of mercy never ceasing, it continues on, call for songs of loudest praise. And it's just this idea that, like, man, the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus, period, calls for songs of loudest praise, like the loudest thing that I can give. And so entering into prayer in that posture, I think, is really important, no matter what it is that we're coming into it with. And, you know, in a few weeks, Maddie will get up there and talk about lament. And that's something that's probably unfamiliar for a lot of us in our prayer life. But you know, it's one thing to really consider, like, how do I step into lament when my center is gratitude? How do I hold those in tension? How do I lament and also be grateful? How do I be grateful and also lament? Like, how do I do all of these things?
Right.
And I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like potentially that maybe you've experienced this. I'm sure many people have, but experienced almost like a superficiality. Or like feeling like Christians are superficial. Like there's a face of smiles, that kind of hides and conceals.
I fall into that trap too, for yeah, sure.
But you know what I mean? Where it's like there's like a superficial gratitude. And so, you know, obviously we don't want to enter into that to the point where it's like, I'm just happy to be here, when it's like, I'm not happy to be here.
Yeah. I mean? Like, I'm falling apart.
It's like, how are you? Man, I'm so good. Life's just, you know, living the dream. I feel like that's a common phrase. Or is it just me? Am I the only one that says living the dream?
I don't know.
I say it.
Not my vernacular.
Oftentimes people are like, hey, how's it going? I'm just like, man, I'm just living the dream. So I'm not always living the dream, man. It's not always the dream. But yeah, so I think there's like a stigma of like a, you know, if I'm grateful all the time, that would mean I'm superficial.
Yeah.
When in reality, I think that's a different thing than having a center of gratitude. that like we're always coming back to that because that's just where our heart lies.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you say in there because you almost, what I think you did, Nick, is you hinted at this, maybe this point of confusion or uncertainty we have with, okay, well, how am I supposed to hold the tension of upholding scripture when it says be grateful and praise versus I'm suffering? And immediately what comes to my mind is the pretty much one of the opening lines in the letter of James in the New Testament, count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of various kinds. And I'm just like, what?
There's not as much of a dichotomy as we think there is.
Right. It's like, I look like at that,
we,
I'm
have,
like,
we as people have like separated them out, and God's like, why are you doing so much separation?
Right. Well, I mean, that's what we love, especially in the West. We like these neat,
neat,
tidy boxes where we compartmentalize everything. I have my religion box and my sports box and home box.
I got my happy box and my sad box. They don't ever get to mix.
Right. And yet it's like, you know, all throughout we have that feeling like that's our natural inclination. And then you go to that verse in James, or I even think of the end of the Old Testament, little letter of Habakkuk. Though there's nothing growing on the vine, if all your livestock is gone, if everything withers away, like even though this is happening, yet I will still rejoice. I will still trust in the Lord. And it's like, man, scripture does not dichotomize the two.
Come on, Sam. Bring in a Habakkuk quote.
You got to bring it. It's scripture. Come on.
Man, I remember the last time I heard a quote from Habakkuk. Good on you, brother.
Habakkuk's great.
I'm here for that. Let's go.
I'm here for it until I have to live it. And then my pastor mode is like, oh, count it all. You know, like a year ago, almost a year ago now, losing my dad, count it all joy. I'm like, okay, well, scripture is obviously not telling me jump up and down and sing and dance.
Yeah. But I mean, for our context today, even just like the fact of how do I enter into the presence of God and say, Lord, what is it that I can walk in with joy? Mm. Like, what is it that I can be grateful for even in the midst of all of this terrible things? Like, where's the good?
Yeah.
Like, where is it? Like, show me. Show me where it's at, because I know it's somewhere, and I know it has to exist, because that's who you are, that there are, you are a good God who does good things. Where's the good? Like, where is it? And I may not see it yet, but Lord, whenever it happens, show me.
Right.
Like, show me the good. Show me the thing to be grateful for and joyous about, you know, and you know, on the topic of loss, I mean, even Maddie and I, with just like the loss of her mom, you know, the anniversary was just on Sunday, and so we were with our family, and you know, there's a weird, you know, there's obviously grief and sadness and pain in that.
Absolutely.
But there's also like, you know, joy with family. Like, it was weirdly a super fun day. You know what I mean? We had a fun day together as a whole family, getting to see each other. You know, we don't always, the large family as a whole get to spend much time together. And so it was fun. It was a fun day. And so it was almost even like a look at what is brought together, even in the midst of sorrow and things like that. And so, I don't know. I just feel like that's like a really tiny example of, you know, where's something to be grateful for? Where's something good that could come from this?
Right. And what can you remember? I mean, that's part of one of the words used in the song the hymn you started us off with is, here I raise my Ebenezer, my stone of remembrance, reminder of God's faithfulness. And, you know, to Andrew's message, and again, for those who are wondering who the heck is Andrew, he's been a...
who the heck is Andrew?
Andrew's been a pastor for 15 years. He's a good friend of our family at churches. He was a youth pastor, which was completely made obvious by the fact that he brought props on stage. So I was like, my man right there. But he brought up this, you know, this walking stick, and it was full of these stickers and medallions of all these places he's gone. Mm. And it's a reminder of the beauty and creation that he's seen, the great adventures he's had with his two boys, with his wife, moments where God has met him. And then he really then takes that into talking about pathways paved by prayer, and pathways paved by praise.
Mm. Yeah. I do. And I love that. I love that phrase. The path is paved by praise. Like, you know, the praise is that we'll wander off. You know, like he said, the boys would like wander off.
Oh, yeah.
The
boys hike off the main path and go off.
Go to find poison ivy.
Sure.
And, you know, oh my gosh, comes back to that hymn, bruh. Comes back to the hymn. Prone to wander.
Did you just bruh on the podcast? I love it.
Bruh. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. It's almost like a bring me back to the path.
Yeah.
Bring me back to the path of praise and the path of blessing and the path of gratitude. As I wander, I wander, I wander, bring me back. Center me. Bring me back onto the pathway that you've guided out.
I even love how you jokingly brought up poison ivy, because what happens when we go off the path of praise and gratitude and time with God? We get hurt.
Come on.
That's your joke right there, like unintentionally, but seriously, like forming us though, because we get off the beaten path and then we go into prayer and then we, like, you know, you and I before this podcast, we set a 3-minute timer just to say, Lord, we want to be silent before you and sit. Well, okay, well, what happens if I, you know, if I'm not used to that kind of rhythm, we get discouraged when our mind goes all over the place. We don't know necessarily what to pray for. We get disengaged after a few minutes. We don't know if it's okay to open our eyes, sit, stand, kneel. Do I have scripture in front of me? Should I make sure my Apple Watch and phone are off?
It's almost like a start here.
Yeah.
Start here. Start with praise. You know, going into like Psalm 100, you know, the verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's almost like a start here. When you show up, the first thing to do, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you for inviting me into new life. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. You know, like praise his name, praise the name of Jesus. And, you know, let that, you know, lead you into the rest of your prayer time. But I think even sometimes, and some people may, you know, going back to like that superficiality piece, some people may be like, well, I don't feel grateful. And so I don't want to like do that. But for me,
what do you mean do that?
Like walk in and say like, Lord, thank you. When you may not be feeling like, tracking, I don't want to thank God right now. I don't have anything. I'm not there. I'm not in that. I'm going to enter with praise. But I think there's value, even when you are in a season of lament, to walk in with that posture, almost to let it be a reminder to you, almost to like speak that over yourself and almost will yourself into a place of gratitude. I think of an example. I think of like raising hands or kneeling in worship. Sometimes I don't feel like raising my hands, or I don't feel like kneeling in worship. It's not like it's kneeling or raising hands. It isn't always a response for me. Sometimes it's actually me using my body to bring my heart where it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's my, I'm using my body to bring my heart into the correct posture. I'm going to kneel to make my heart learn submission. I'm going to lift my hands up, and I'm going to shout, and I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, because the more I speak it, the more I may start to believe it in my heart. And so I think that there's a lot of importance to, no matter what the season is, like, it doesn't matter what you are going through, enter his courts with praise. Enter his presence with thanksgiving and with gratitude, whether you feel like it or not, because if you don't feel like it, use that to bring yourself there. You know, and if you do feel like it, then that's great. Woohoo. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but I think there's something timeless and not situational about gratitude. And I think that there's the rub right there, is that we often think gratitude is situational.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Like, oh, praise God and thank him. Well, thank him for what?
Right.
What's the situation that I'm in? What do I have to actually thank him for? Well, you can always start with the easy thanks. Like, thank you for creating me. Thank you for existing. Thank you for loving me. I gave a speech in high school.
High school, Nick.
Oh, high school. I gave a speech at the end of my senior year. It was like our farewell ceremony thing before graduation. And in this speech, I had a phrase that I kind of, you know, used throughout high school. And this phrase was, there's always a reason to smile. I was a very firm believer in the idea that no matter what was going on, there's always a reason to smile. If nothing else, that Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing else is going right in your life today, there is at least one thing to smile about, and that is that you are saved and loved by Jesus. And the worst that can happen on any given day is that you lose your life. But even then, the follower of Jesus is raised back. Death is not the end. Right. And so really, to some extent, what's the worst that could happen?
To live as Christ, to die as gain.
Right. Like, yes, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Like, that is exactly what we're talking about here. Like, gratitude is the center, because gratitude is something that will always exist in the believer. In the follower of Jesus, gratitude cannot leave. You know what I mean? Like, if we truly believe that God loves us and desires us and invites us, like, we can always be grateful for that.
Always.
We can always praise God for that, no matter what it is that's going on. And so my hope is that, listener, whatever it is that you're going through today, and I'm sure there's probably a bunch of stress. If we're all honest with ourselves, we're always stressing about something. We're always anxious and nervous and thinking, we're overwhelmed with whatever it is. We're hurrying around the hustle bustle of our day. You know, whether it's work stuff, life stuff, whatever it is, there is something to be grateful for. If your work is stressing you out, you can be thankful you have a job. If your family is stressing out, you can be grateful that you have a family.
Yeah.
If, you know, your house chores are stressing you out, you can be grateful you have a home and you have dishes and you have running water. If, you know, the list could go on and on.
Right.
Like, sometimes I think it's valuable, you know, if the pathway is praise, what does that pathway look like? I think that pathway includes a lot of things of just like taking an inventory of even the things that we just take for granted.
Mm.
Of like, I'm wearing clothes. I took a shower. I have food. I have this. I have that. Like, and we did an exercise with that in students before. Man, this was a long time ago. It was around Thanksgiving. It was around Thanksgiving, 1 year, and I had the students write down 30 things that you're thankful for. And it started off as kind of like, you know, simple-ish things. But around like number 15, some of the students were like, I don't know what else to write. Like, I don't know what else to put. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was almost because of like, we haven't learned to be grateful for even the smallest minute things, like breath.
Mm.
And so while it's easy to be like, oh, thank you God for this. Thank you God for this. Those big things stand out to us. I think there's value in us occasionally and from time to time taking an inventory and thanking God for even the smallest little things. And like I said, letting gratitude be the center.
I love that. Yeah, a few years ago, I was challenged. Someone had asked the question, when, you know, essentially, you know, everyone has the routine, you go to bed, you wake up, but what would happen if you wake up and all you had in your life the next day when you woke up was what you thanked God for the day prior?
Mm.
I was like,
wow.
I was like, I don't like this question, because
I'd wake up dead with nothing.
Right. I'd have nothing.
I wouldn't exist.
I take everything for granted. Yeah. But I started this practice. I did it last year. And I'm doing it this year as well. But at the, you know, I keep track throughout the week of things and, you know, listener, take this as an application, but I keep track of things I'm thankful for throughout the week. So like, Nick, when you and I get to hang out, or when a cool transformation moment happens in students, or,
right,
you know, I get a fantastic discount on the giant crack in my windshield on my car, something like that, I write it all down. I fold the paper up and I put it in a jar. And New Year's, the weekend of New Year's, or the final couple of days of the year, I dump out the jar of 52 slips of paper.
Mm.
And it reminds me, and I spend probably a couple of hours, like, I organize everything first, week 1 through 52, and then I'll read through everything that happened and I'll smile and laugh because I forgot. Something will have happened like a month ago and I'll go, oh my gosh, that made me laugh so much. I needed that.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful practice to get to do. And I look forward to, you know, getting to read that every single year now. So something I think definitely to consider.
We actually had a podcast last year last May, literally almost a year ago.
Wow.
On celebration and gratitude. I'll link that in the show notes if you want to listen to it. Pastor Luke and I had talked about the practice of, like, the spiritual practice of celebration and gratitude. Mm. You know, and I'm even just looking at my notes from it. Of just, this is a quote from Brené Brown, professor and author, if you haven't heard of her. It says, "Without exception, every person I interviewed who described living a joyful life or who described themselves as joyful actively practiced gratitude and attributed their joyfulness to their gratitude practice. And both joy and gratitude were described as spiritual practices that were bound to a belief in a human interconnectedness and a power greater than us."
Wow.
Bro, if you want to be more joyful, be grateful. Like,
can that be the title of this podcast?
Want to be joyful? Be grateful.
Yeah, I like it.
But like gratitude and celebration, yes, it's a circumstantial feeling and emotion, but it's also a discipline. Like, it really is. It is a discipline. Like I said before, you know, it's a timeless. We need to be disciplined in saying, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to celebrate. You know, I'm going, you know, Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength."
Yeah.
Our strength is in the fact that there is joy in the Father. Mm. And so I don't know. I think that is extremely important for us in prayer, in our prayer lives as a whole, to say, you know, gratitude needs to be there.
Yeah, it's essential, that and praise. And, you know, I think as we walk this path that Andrew's talking about, ultimately that path leads us to becoming more like Jesus. Mm. And, you know, the two examples that come to my mind, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Oh my gosh.
That is like nothing to work with. But what does he do before he does the miracle?
Bro gives thanks.
He gives thanks.
Let's go.
He thanks God for... What you would look, dude, on the surface and go, this is not enough, but he thanks Jesus. If Jesus thanks God for what's not enough,
bro,
like, what are we doing? And not to mention, you know, I look at the John 13-17, just that powerful section of scripture. We have this inside look of Jesus speaking with the Father intimately. He thanks God for the disciples. Time out here. You mean the ones that frequently doubted him, that got understandings wrong of him,
that betrayed him,
of his role as Messiah, the one that betrayed him, the others that all walked away,
the one that denied him publicly
3 times? Jesus is saying thank you for them. It's like, yes, the path of thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise leads us to becoming like Jesus. And if, wow, Jesus is giving thanks for things that aren't, you know, what we would classify as enough, then what are we doing?
Oh man, that's so good. And honestly, that is perfect in the context of our whole series, because, you know, prayer does lead us to Jesus. Prayer leads us to what JD called union with God.
Yeah.
Jesus is like the epitome, the fulfillment of union with God, God made flesh. And so how do we get to that union? How do we get to that God made flesh? Oh, how do we get to that? We get to that through gratitude. Mm. Like, that is where we start. We enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. We enter his presence with gladness and joy and delight, and with celebration. And so, you know, to close up, I feel like we've said most everything we could say on this right now. Like, we're just like, but to kind of close us out here, I would just encourage you, listener, to consider what your practice might be. Yeah. How can you practice this? And if you go back and listen to last year's midweek formation on gratitude, which I really, really, really highly recommend. I'm looking at the notes right now and I'm like, wow, I would just say all this again if I didn't encourage you just to go listen to it. But go listen to it, and it even has, like, you know, some examples of how to practice gratitude. But I would encourage you to just kind of contemplate and consider, hey, you know, how can I be grateful? Ask yourself, what can I be grateful for? Is there any sort of routine or discipline that I can have to either, you know, write down the things I'm thankful for and, you know, put them on my bathroom mirror so I always see them? Or
keep a prayer journal, as Andrew brought up.
Keep a prayer journal, you know, like, even like having an alarm in your phone that says gratitude. Mm. And you know, the alarm goes off and it doesn't require you to like do anything per se, but like even just seeing it will remind you to be grateful in some capacity.
Sure.
You know, and let that kind of bring you back in. Whatever you're doing, you always get pulled back in because of that alarm. You know, and so there's a variety of different things, you know, smile more, eat good food, be with friends, like do all these things to have gratitude and joy and celebration. But I would encourage you to step into this. I think the Western church in a lot of ways often ends up stuck in a rut simply because of the culture in our, you know, the widespread culture, not necessarily just like church culture, but the widespread culture of, we listen to things and then we kind of don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
We say, oh, that's a great idea. And then we don't do anything. Oh, that's a super cool thing. That's a great routine. I should totally do that. That's a great diet. I should totally do that. That's a great exercise routine. Like we see that in goals for years and like for that New Year's resolutions. My encouragement would be like, not let this be that, you know, gratitude, prayer, walking this path of praise towards Jesus. Allow this to be a real practice that you adopt as your own, in whatever way that you see fit and whatever way that works for you well. But don't let it fall to the sideline.
Yeah.
Don't let it get pushed aside and pushed and fall behind. Instead, hold it close, hold it with you, and allow it even to carry you towards Jesus. Allow gratitude to pick you up and walk you over. So yeah, that would be just kind of an encouragement to everybody to just, don't listen to this and be like, ooh, that's good. You know, like I should be grateful. Yeah. No, like go do it.
Yeah.
This is your challenge. Listener, go do it. Go practice this in whatever way you can. So I think that wraps it up. If you have any questions or things you want us to talk about on the podcast, please let us know. You can do that by going to the media tab on our website at mercyroadnw.com. And on our website, you'll also be able to find more details and information about our community. And you can get a hold of me or Sam directly as well if you go to the staff page. So thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.